Composed. We will read the Kinah in the Rosenfeld Kinot shortly. But, of course, the Shoah, in a certain sense, is the easiest of the tragedies for us to identify with. It's the most recent of them. There's still a few people left who are first-generation survivors of the Shoah. Certainly people who are second-generation survivors. We've got lots of testimony about it, so in a certain sense it's the easiest of the tragedies for us to comprehend and identify with. But at the same time, it's also the hardest because of the enormity of what happened. We look at the numbers of people who were killed in the Crusades. We look at the number of people who were killed in Hebron. How many people were killed in Hebron? 69 people were killed in Hebron. Because 69 people is a massacre. There was a massacre in Israel of 69 people in one day. You know, we would feel it to our very bones. But 69 is not 6 million. And when we talk about the number of 6 million, it's just an incomprehensible number. When we talk about over a million children being killed, it's an incomprehensible number for us to get our heads around. So simultaneously, the Shoah is both the easiest and the hardest of the tragedies for us to comprehend. Before we read the Kinah, I want to look at a passage from Elie Wiesel's book, Night. We're going to start in the middle of the chapter, but it's the description of his arrival at Auschwitz and how he underwent the selection and what he saw, and then their response to their arrival at Auschwitz. So I'm reading on page 30 in the packet. The baton moved to the left. I took half a step forward. I wanted to see first where they were sending my father. If he went to the right, I would go after him. The baton once again pointed to the left for him too. A weight was lifted from my heart. We did not know yet which was the better side, right or left, which road led to prison and which to the crematory. But for the moment I was happy, I was near my father. Our procession continued to move slowly forward. Another prisoner came up to us. Satisfied? Yes, someone replied. Poor devils, you're going to the crematory. He seemed to be telling the truth. Not far from us, flames were leaping up from a ditch, gigantic flames. They were burning something. A lorry drew up at the pit and delivered its load. Little children. Babies. Yes, I saw it with my own eyes, those children in the flames. Is it surprising that I could not sleep after that? Sleep had fed from my eyes. So this was where we were going. A little further on was another and larger ditch for adults. I pinched my face. Was I still alive? Was I awake? I could not believe it. How could it be possible for them to burn people, children, and for the world to keep silent? No, none of this could be true. It was a nightmare. Soon I should wake with a start, my heart pounding, and find myself back in the bedroom of my childhood, among my books. My father's voice drew me from my thoughts. It's a shame. Shame that you couldn't have gone with your mother. I saw several boys of your age going with their mothers. His voice was terribly sad, and I realized that he did not want to see what they were going to do to me. He did not want to see the burning of his only son. My forehead was bathed in cold sweat, but I told him that I did not believe that they could burn people in our age, that humanity would never tolerate it. Humanity. Humanity is not concerned with us. Today, anything is allowed. Anything is possible. Even these crematories. His voice was choking. Father, I said, if that is so, I don't want to wait here. I'm going to run to the electric wire. That would be better than slow agony in the flames. He did not answer. He was weeping. His body was shaking convulsively. Around us, everyone was weeping. Someone began to recite the Kaddish, the prayer for the dead. I do not know if it has ever happened before in the long history of the Jews that people have ever recited the prayer for the dead for themselves. Yitgadal v'yitgadash shemei rabah. May his name be blessed and magnified, whispered my father. For the first time, I felt revolt rise up in me. Why should I bless his name? The eternal Lord of the universe, the all-powerful and terrible, was silent. What had I to thank him for? We continued our march. We were gradually drawing closer to the ditch, from which an infernal heat was rising. Still 20 steps to go. I wanted to bring about my own death. This was the moment. Our line had now only 15 paces to cover. I bit my lips so that Father would not hear my teeth chattering. 10 steps still. 8, 7. We marched slowly on, as though following a hearse at our own funeral. 4 steps more. 3 steps. That was it now. Right in front of us, the pit and its flames. I gathered all that was left in my strength so that I could break from the ranks and throw myself upon the barbed wire. In the depths of my heart, I bade farewell to my father, to the whole universe, and in spite of myself, the words formed themselves and issued in a whisper from my lips, Yitkadal v'yitkadash shemei rabah. May his name be blessed and magnified. My heart was bursting. The moment had come. I was face to face with the angel of death. No. 2 steps from the pit, we were ordered to turn to the left and made to go into a barracks. I pressed my father's hand. He said, "Do you remember Madame Schachter in the train?" Never shall I forget that night, the first night in camp, which has turned my life into one long night, 7 times cursed and 7 times sealed. Never shall I forget that smoke. Never shall I forget the little faces of the children, whose bodies I saw turned into wreaths of smoke beneath a silent blue sky. Never shall I forget those flames which consumed my faith forever. Never shall I forget that nocturnal silence which deprived me for all eternity of the desire to live. Never shall I forget those moments which murdered my God and my soul and turned my dreams to dust. Never shall I forget these things, even if I am condemned to live as long as God himself. Never." So this, of course, is an immensely moving passage. The notion of saying Kaddish for yourself in Auschwitz. And Elie Wiesel was, of course, an immensely heroic and complex character. In the one paragraph he says, "Never shall I forget those moments which murdered my God and soul." He feels that he's lost his faith. And in the very next sentence, he writes, "Even if I'm condemned to live as long as God himself," God with a capital G, himself with a capital H. It's a man who's lost his faith who still believes in God, having lost his faith, but still believing in God. That is the complexity of it. But the notion of losing faith in the Shoah and still believing in God, of course, asking that question of Eicha, how can it be? Where was God in the Shoah? I want to quote from Rabbi Sachs, Zichron Olivracha. If you go onto Rabbi Sachs's website, you can find a number of conversations he had about the Shoah. Well worth listening to on Tisha B'Av afternoon. Part one, he addresses the question of where do you think God was in the Holocaust? And I want to share with you what he said. He said, "Faith for me is an intensely personal experience. And clearly there are many responses to the question, where was God in the Holocaust? But all I can tell you is mine. The first time I went to Auschwitz, I was simply overwhelmed. I stood in Auschwitz-Birkenau on the train tracks that brought Jews from all over Europe to be gassed, burned and turned to ash. The Nazis actually endangered their own war effort in order to divert trains to this relentless evil for evil's sake. I went through Samulger Auschwitz, seeing the suitcases, the spectacles, the glasses, the hair. The Nazis kept everything. Everything was worth keeping, except one thing, human life. I could not believe that. They kept the suitcases, and they killed 1.25 million people, 250,000 children. And then I saw the photographs, because in Auschwitz, the first people who were sent to Auschwitz were photographed. Of course, they stopped that quite soon. But there were photographs of 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old children. I just broke down. I wept. I asked myself, God, where were you?" and words came into my mind. I'm not claiming they were any kind of revelation, but this is what they said. I was in the words, you shall not murder. I was in the words, you shall not oppress a stranger. I was in the words that were said to Cain when he killed Abel. Your brother's blood, his blood is crying to me from the ground. And suddenly I knew that when God speaks and human beings refuse to listen, even God is helpless in that situation. He knew that Cain was about to kill Abel, but he didn't stop him. He knew Pharaoh was about to kill Israelite children. He didn't stop it. God gives us freedom and he never takes it back. But he tells us how to use that freedom. And when human beings refuse to listen, even God is powerless. And then there is the second answer. This one came to me from Holocaust survivors, many of whom told me that they felt God was personally with them, giving them the strength and courage to survive. There were people who lost their faith at Auschwitz. There were people who kept their faith. And there were people who found faith in Auschwitz. To my mind, one of the most moving stories is the one Viktor Frankl told about himself. When he first came to Auschwitz, they stripped him of everything, his clothes, his identity. And the one thing that was most precious to him, apart from his wife and family, which was the book he'd written. He said, when they took that from me, my life was over. And of course, they took their clothes and they sent them all into a shower. And he was expecting that to be death. But he was one of the lucky ones. It was just a shower. And afterwards, they gave him clothes. Clothes of people who'd been killed. And he put on these clothes and he found something in one of the pockets. He took it out and saw that it was a scrap of paper. It had been torn from a siddur, from a prayer book. And it contained these words, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your good, the Lord is one. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And Frankl said, these words transfixed me. They were saying to me, now you must live. Every single thing you ever taught and practiced, you must live that here, now, in Auschwitz. And that gave him the courage to do what he did, which was to give people the will to live. So that is where God was in the Holocaust. He was in the commands, in the sanctity of life that was so cruelly and devastatingly unheard, and in the hearts of some of the survivors who found God, giving them the strength. Our minhag is that we read this kina together. Eicha tifarteinu meirashenu hishlachta, eicha panecha mimenu histarta, eicha katzavta v'lo chamalta, b'lev nishba v'nivkeh b'yom tzara v'atzara, banu l'fanecha lisbod v'livkot b'kina v'ilala, b'zochreinu et kedoshei ha-shoah, tartzat tasha. Go'on Yaakov asher ahavta shibarta, Gada taramea koma vagvoy mispalta. Gafneinu lishamauten artenu liktsafa asamta. Davku atzameinu l'oreinu v'sareinu. Dacho dikita laretz chayenu. Dalfa mituga v'anachna nafshenu. Hane'ehavim v'animim v'isharim v'atmimim. Utanu bakronot kichvasim v'karim. Hachom machanak v'aptachim chatumim, v'atikim yoshim al haaretz domimim, u'mehayetach atatam heim shoalim, v'lama nigzar hadin b'li rachamim. Zachor tizkor et zakat hanavim, zakat hayitomim hagalmudim v'hanezavim, zilzul chachamim v'tamideihem ha'ahuvim, chayalim rashei beit avot kiborim, Chalalim umedukarim, naflu milyonim, cherpa mishama haita lagoyim. Tipachnu v'ribinu hachzak kilam v'hashimam, tarof tarfu kizevim lishpoch damam, tevach sheish meot ribo mizamam. Yardu chayim shola bishma Yisrael uvanim, amen. Yatsu nishmotem umutarim betalitu tfilin, Yevoshu v'yikalmu v'yuchayin harotzchin. Kala sheireinu l'vavinu al shever chalkeinu. Kulanu nosim kina bovdan chatzi ameinu. Ki shkula shoah ki trefat beit Eloheinu. La Auschwitz, Buchenwald, Bergen-Belsen, Dachau, Majdanek v'Treblinka. Lechuvud chaku b'chadrei gaz v'nisrufu b'moktos hakiv shanim b'cherpa. Lachamu hakdoshim atorim v'naflu kagiborim b'geto varsha. Mikol pinazo akim d'mehem akrushim. Matay avokets labgayim hanushim. Mispeid mar v'kinas u'al hakdoshim. Na'atsu hanoatim et habrit v'etorateinu. Naflu aleinu mechorfecha v'nifked v'atsom nafshenu. Nafla teret roshenu. Oy na l'na'ach alateinu. Sifrei Torah ligzarim karuvatimu bidehem. Sarku b'sar sheireinu. V'oram hafchu likishutehem. Siftu v'chigru sak v'elilu alehem v'al tapehem. Einenu zol got dam to ma'ot. Al shreifat vatei knesiot, al arisat yeshivot vatei midrashot. Parsu kiloteinu varsu adateinu, pachad kra'anu radach azatanu, paneinu kista kilima betzaroteinu. Tzia aruku b'cheser v'chafan, tzunot b'nafshan shalchu yadan, Sakab yam suf nishma kolan. Krovim vididim, chavivim, chasidim visharim. Kedoshim utorim, kezoar harakiam masirim. Kabalim vahastirim, besetek nafech al olamim. Rachum zechob rachamecha, sridei nachalatecha. Ribon ha'olamim, aser daga v'tugam e'amecha, rishat ha'goyim v'shasonei Yisrael ta'keb z'amecha. Shuyim hadrev gach koach l'asureinu, shemen sason tachat evel tatureinu, shalom v'shavat sasim lanu l'artzeinu, tarim karneinu tachesh gulateinu b'mheira v'yameinu, tagel arava v'tifrach kachavat selet Yisrael medinateinu, tvaracheinu b'virkat Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov avoteinu. Of course, this kinah finishes on a hopeful, perhaps almost triumphant note. I want to conclude our study by sharing with you words of Moriv Rabbi Harav Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, who wrote about that sense of light that does appear at the end of the tunnel. He describes, now you go to Yad Vashem, if anybody's been to the new Yad Vashem, you might have been to the old Yad Vashem. It's worth going to the new Yad Vashem. Go through the new Yad Vashem, you spend an hour or two. It's dark, it's dismal, and then it's immensely clever at the end. You get to the end, and you come out into the sunlight, and you see the Jerusalem hills there, and you just realize that amongst the tragedy, there is the chance for rebuilding as well. If you've never been there, if you've never haven't been to the new Yad Vashem, it's worth going and immersing yourself in 2 hours of misery to come out at the end. I've given you the plot spoiler, as it were. Spoiled it for you. I remember the first time I was there, you know, after it rebuilt, you know, it's dismal, it's heavy. You come out at the end and you just gasp. In addition to devoting rededicated efforts to Knesset Israel and the Torah of Israel, let us also take up the task they never had, the opportunity to accomplish, building and developing the land of Israel. Anyone who emerges from Yad Vashem experiences profound depression, and quite understandably so. But when you emerge and see the hills of Judea and Jerusalem rebuilt, you can take some comfort. We should not attempt to do an accounting and say that this is God's compensation to us for the Holocaust. The state of Israel is not the solution to that problem, but rather an opportunity for us to fulfill a mission. It is not an answer, but rather a challenge and a destiny. And our responsibility is to work towards its realization. We're going to finish with Elitzion. Elitzion is a kinah. We get it wrong every year. We sing it the wrong way. I'm convinced that we sing it the wrong way. It's a dirge, and it's saying that there's no time to stop dirging. There's no time to stop lamenting. We've spent all morning saying kinot, talking about the destruction of Yerushalayim, the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. the destruction of the Jewish people. And these are things that go on time and time again from generation to generation. These things are never going to stop till it's all over, until the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. In the modern era, it's of course difficult to identify fully with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So many things are good for us, so many things have been restored to us, but at the same time, Yerushalayim still lies in ruins, and we're still mourning for the destruction of Yerushalayim. So as we sing Elitzion, let's try to perhaps sing it in a way a little bit more low-key than perhaps some shuls do. And remember, this is a dirge and an elegy as well. Elitzion ve'areha.